Well, let's go to Philippians chapter 4 now. Some very, very familiar passages. I really debated and waited on the Lord this week to do what to do this morning. I do have another message on the Christian home. I don't know if I'll do that tonight. It's prepared and ready to go. I might go another direction tonight. The Lord kind of got on my mind a little bit this morning as I was just spending some time in fellowship with Him earlier today. But I really just felt uneasy about not coming to this morning without some kind of wrap-up message for our missions conference, since we just have so much on our minds. And this is going to go places where those of you who have been here over the years have been many times. But there's such a revolutionizing Bible study that for me years ago, and I think for many. You know, it's one thing just to do things almost out of ritual and tradition. It's something else when you can realize what you're doing is based on the Word of God. That changes how you view it. And so I'm going to shorten up the message on First Century Missions Giving, but that's where we're going this morning. Some of you have seen it before. I'm not going to do all the things that I've done in the past, but I want to just nail it down. We have folks that have not heard this Bible study. It is the only message, Brother Beard, I've ever repeated in this pulpit in 20 years. And I have books. I have 67 of these. 67 of these books that are filled with messages I preached in this pulpit. I also have about 15 notebooks of this size paper in spiral notebook. I mean, what do you call those things? Clip books or whatever. You know, they got the 3-ring binder. Okay, I got about 15 or 16 full of sermons. I don't know, I might have repeated a theme, a central thought, but I believe with all my heart this is the only message I've ever repeated in its entirety in these 20 years. And I've repeated it several times. And really make no apology. Bob Jones Sr. said, if a man repeats a message because he's too lazy to study, then he's a dog. But if a man is afraid to repeat a message because he's preached it before, he does his people a disservice. That's what Dr. Bob Sr. said. So this is a great Bible truth. It'll help you nail it down. Okay, let's stand together in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 15. And I want to just read a few verses with you here. And then we're going to jump right in, okay, after the song in just a moment. Why don't you read the even numbered verses with me? We'll go down to the end of verse 19. So if you join me on 16 and 18, here's what the Word of God says. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Father, bless this message out of your word this morning. God, you said that you exalted your word above your own name. And we just want to take your word this morning and do a work with it. And I pray the Holy Ghost will be the one to do that work, that Terry Angel get out of the way and let the Spirit of God have this service. Take my mind, my voice, my words, my gestures, my body. I yield it to you. Holy Ghost, would you use it? Well, thank you this morning for the privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. Ushers, if you'd help me real quick, I have a piece of paper I'd like for our ushers to give everybody this morning. I believe there's enough for everybody to have one. This will save us a little time in a few minutes when we get into this message. We will not have to turn to the book of Acts. And you'll have it to look at later on today to read for yourself, all right? Just pass them right down now, fellas, as many of you as possible to help us here quickly. And I want you to have this. And just take it for a minute here. Don't look at it right now. There's not anything on here but just some scriptures and a couple of statements about each scripture. You'll get in just a moment. We'll get to that as we go through this Bible lesson that the Lord blessed me to find here some years ago. And the purpose of this message is to prove without a shadow of a doubt that God's people giving cash money so that people, missionaries, could take the gospel message around the world is not a Johnny-come-lately idea. This did not originate in Greenville, South Carolina, or Chattanooga, Tennessee, or Hammond, Indiana, or Dallas, Texas, or any other place where there have been great churches and mission boards and so forth. This originated, God's people giving money to send missionaries started with first century churches. First century churches. And it's in our Bible for us. So what we're doing here is not a Johnny-come-lately idea. It is a Bible pattern. And God will bless a church and God will bless an individual that will follow this Bible pattern in the year 2010, 11, 12, and through the rest of time as we know it. All right? I want you to see verse number 19. That's where we're going to end up in a little bit. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, I pray that You'll please take these verses in Your Word today and do a good work in our heart. Help my stammering lips, O God, to preach concisely this morning, clearly, the truths of the blessed book. And we'll thank You in Christ's name. And amen. All right, look at verse number 10. Verse 14. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he says to them, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." I want you to notice that word communicate there. What's he talking about? He's not talking about the kind of communication that you and I have, obviously, today. The means of communication that are in existence today are unbelievable. All right? If you get enough email addresses, you can type an email and you can send it with one click of a button to how many thousands upon thousands of people to receive that email. We're not talking about email. We're not talking about internet. We're not talking about pagers, as I've said before. We're not talking about a landline telephone. We're not even talking about two tin cans tied together by a piece of string. All right? What are we talking about when we talk about the word communicate? Well, you know the best dictionary to define Bible terms is the Bible itself. And the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. And we don't need a Greek or a Hebrew dictionary to better understand the English Bible God has given us. You know, the English Bible does a good job defining itself. The very next verse defines for us what Paul means by communication. Now, whatever he means in verse 14, he tells them that they had done very well in communicating with him. Now look at verse 15. "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving." So there we go right there. Paul makes it very clear what he's talking about when he uses the word communicate in verse 14 and 15. "No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." So this communication that Paul talked about between himself and the church at Philippi, which he told them, "You've done very well in communicating." This communication involved the church giving and Paul receiving. And it's right there in the pages of the Bible for us. "No church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." Now I want you to notice that this giving and receiving, this communication, he talks about in verse 15. The Bible says that it was in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia. You see that in verse 15 there. "Ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." What he's talking about here is his second missionary journey. It was Paul's second missionary journey that took him to Macedonia and Achaia, all right? On your sheet of paper here, you have just a very brief summary of Paul's second missionary journey that took him through Macedonia and Achaia. Now, I've asked six young men to help me this morning. So, fellas, run on up here to the platform, if you will, please. In fact, let's do this. Let's have Zach, you just stay put right there. Come on up, Ethan, okay? And I'll get you guys in the front row down here. And let's see. Colt, sit down there by Levi, if you would. Joey, you and David, come up here on the platform. Ethan, if you would, you two Ethans would sit over here. Just sit in the front pew just for a minute until I call you, okay? Sit right there in the front pew. All right, we're going to let David this morning represent the Apostle Paul, okay? Now, I'm going to do that for a specific reason, because David is the shortest of the guys that I've asked to come up here, and the Apostle Paul was a short man, all right, according to the Scripture. So we're going to let Joey come over here, and Joey's going to be our city of Philippi. Now, you understand, Paul, you're going to be the Apostle Paul, Dave, so come on down here, and if you will, please just hold that up there, Joey, if you don't mind, with your hands there so everybody can see that. All right, now, in the book of Acts chapter 16, you'll find here in verse number 8, you see here verses 8 through 10, Paul came to a place on this journey called Troas. It was at Troas that Paul got what we call the Macedonian vision. God came to him in a vision by night. It was a man of Macedonia who stood and said, come over into Macedonia and help us. And so Paul immediately obeyed God and set out with his missionary partners on the journey to come to Macedonia. And you'll also find in Acts chapter 16, verses 12 through 40, that the first city he came to in Macedonia was the city of Philippi. Now, you understand, Macedonia is the country, Philippi is the city, all right? Much like Chicago, Illinois. Illinois, the state, Chicago, the city up here north of us, all right? Philippi was one of the chief colonies or cities in all of Macedonia, meaning it was one of the more populated areas. And to make a long story short, for sake of time, when Paul got to Philippi, he preached the gospel in the city of Philippi. People got saved, people got baptized, and a church was started. We know that a church was started there because we just read from the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippian church, okay, out of Philippians chapter 4. So when he got to Philippi, he preached the gospel, and people got, I like Brother Michael's testimony this morning. He said he wanted to get to Rwanda and see people saved and start a church. Now look, we support a lot of good works here with some of our missions money, sometimes camps or colleges or certain projects. Nothing wrong with that. But Bible missions, in its purest form, is going somewhere, teaching somebody how to be saved, baptizing them, and then organizing those converts into a local church, all right? It's not teaching them how to plant corn or irrigate their fields or build houses. That's not the pure form of Bible missions. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, as you continue reading through Acts chapters, the book of Acts, you come to Acts 17. Come on up, Ethan Maxwell, if you will. And we'll let Ethan Maxwell in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. Hang on just a minute, Ethan. I'll get you up here in just a second. Go ahead and wait down there for me, okay? All right, I'll get Ethan up here. As we're going to go here, he continues on his journey, and he comes down from Philippi to the next city on the journey, the city of Thessalonica, all right? And so he comes into Thessalonica. This is in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. Now, when he gets to Thessalonica, you can read there sometime, he does the same thing that he did in Philippi. He preached the gospel, people got saved, people got baptized, and he organized a church. How do we know that? Well, we have two books in our New Testament that are called 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. So we know there was a church there. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica. Now, watch it. He's still in Macedonia. Okay, he's gone from Philippi, Macedonia to Thessalonica, Macedonia. He's in the same place, like going from Chicago, Illinois to Kankakee, Illinois, in the same state. All right, if you continue reading through the book of Acts, you come to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 10 on your little paper there, verses 10 through 14. Come on, Ethan, I'll get you up here now, bud. And he comes to the town called Berea. I'm going to slide you down just a tad bit here, Ethan, okay? You have to move out of the way there, Apostle Paul. You're going to get run over by the city of Thessalonica there, all right? So here comes the Apostle Paul. He's coming on down here to the next city, and it is the city of Berea. Now, when he gets to Berea, if you read the Scripture, you'll find out that there were many people saved in the town of Berea. However, there is no mention in Acts chapter 17 that Paul started a church. But I think we don't do an injustice to the Scripture. I don't think we do an injustice to the context to assume or speculate that if Paul baptized the converts and started a church here, and Paul baptized the converts and started a church here, he probably did the same thing here, okay, in the city of Berea. Now, understand, he's still in Macedonia. He's not left Macedonia. He's still in the country of Macedonia. He's been to three different cities in the country of Macedonia. It'd be like going from Chicago to Kankakee to Champaign, Illinois. All right? That's exactly what it's like. Okay? Now, when you continue reading the book of Acts in chapter 17, Paul leaves Berea. Come on up here, Zach, if you would, please. Paul leaves Berea and he goes to Athens. Okay, I'll let you get on this side of the platform over here. Okay, thank you very much for your help today, bud. Appreciate it. All right, now, this is very important. Because when Paul leaves Berea, come on, Paul. When Paul leaves Berea and heads to Athens, he departs from Macedonia. He leaves Macedonia. And he goes to Achaia. That's what he does. This is a city. Athens is a city in the country of Achaia. It would be like coming down from Chicago to Kankakee to Champaign and then heading east or west on Interstate, what would that be, 74 or that? If you go further, Effingham, going 70 each direction. He would leave. If you did that, you'd leave the state of Illinois. You'd go to Missouri or you'd go into Indiana. That's what he did. He departed from Macedonia and he went to Achaia. Very few people got saved in the city of Athens. I don't have time to develop that this morning. Colt, we'll let you be the next one up here, please. If you continue reading down through Acts chapter 18 and verse 1, come on down, Paul. Paul then leaves Athens and he goes to the next city in Achaia, which is the city of Corinth. This is Achaia. This is Macedonia. We've been to three cities in the country of Macedonia, and we've got two cities in the country of Achaia. All right? That is a brief summary of Paul's second missionary journey that took him through Macedonia and Achaia. Now, you got your Bible in Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse number 15. Paul, let's bring you back down here. Okay? I'm going to call you Paul this morning, Dave. Okay? Let's bring Paul right here, because Paul's writing these words. Now, look at verse 15 of chapter 4. He says, "Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia," that's right here. He departed from Macedonia. "No church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to these people back here. So he tells these people back here at the church at Philippi, "Nobody communicated with me concerning giving and receiving when I departed from Macedonia, but ye only." Now, you know what that tells us? That tells us that at some point in a service at the church at Philippi, somebody stood up and said, "You know, the Apostle Paul is on a missionary journey, and he's taking the gospel down into Achaia. And he's getting ready to leave Berea and go to Achaia. Why don't we help him? We appreciate what happened here in Philippi. Our wives are saved. Our husbands are saved. Our kids are saved. We've got a church to go to. We enjoy getting together as people of God. And we're having a good time singing the songs of the faith and meeting together in a church. And let's just help the Apostle Paul as he continues on this journey doing the same thing." Somebody was sent from that church with an offering for the Apostle Paul, and they got it to him when he departed from Macedonia. And they said, "Paul, we appreciate you. Yeah, you can have this, Dave. You can use it for right now, okay? You can't have it, but you can use it, all right?" So he said, "Paul, we want you to have this to be a blessing and a help to you." And they gave the Apostle Paul an offering when he departed from Macedonia. That's right there in your Bible in verse number 15. But now, wait a minute. The Bible doesn't stop there. It goes on to say in verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once." Well, time out here. Thessalonica is back here. So that means before Paul got to Berea, before Paul departed from Macedonia, that means when Paul got to the next city, when he left Philippi and started preaching in Thessalonica, somebody stood up at the church at Philippi and said, I think probably it was the man Luke. I think Luke pastored the church at Philippi for a while. I think Luke stood up and he said, "Fellas," he said, "the Apostle Paul has gone down to Thessalonica. He's preaching the Word of God down there and people are getting saved, baptized. He's doing down there what he did here. Why don't we help him?" And they took an offering and they sent it to Paul when he was at Thessalonica. So Paul got an offering there. So that's at least twice in our story that the Bible documents for us that this church right here gave Paul a monetary offering to preach the gospel. But now, wait a minute. That's not all the Bible says. Look what verse 16 continues to say. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once, and what's the next word? And again. So that means they sent at least how many times to Thessalonica? At least twice. So somebody stood up the next month and said, you know, Paul's still down in Thessalonica. Let's send him an offering. And somebody, the courier, took the money and got to the Apostle Paul and said, we appreciate what you're doing. We want to be a help to you. Now, folks, they might have, who knows, they might have sent over and over again to Paul while he's in Thessalonica. But we don't do an injustice to the Bible to know for sure that there was at least twice they gave to him at Thessalonica. And we know also that they gave to him while he was here, when he departed from Macedonia. Now that's in your Bible right there in Philippians chapter 4 and Acts chapter 16 when you put it all together, all right? And by the way, he said, they said, you're the only church that sent this way. And look at what he said in verse number 17. He said, not because I desire it. Before I leave verse 16, look at what he said. Once and again, unto my necessity. What is the root word of the word necessity? Needs. So he said, you sent once and again to my needs when I was in Thessalonica, and you sent again to my needs when I departed from Macedonia. Folks, we're not giving so that these missionaries can get rich. I've had the privilege of going to the foreign field several times. You know that. You've paid for me to go. It's been a blessing. And I've been to several places and been able to preach and hopefully be a blessing and encouragement to missionaries. And, Lord willing, with God gives us the health and life and breath until this October, we're lined up to be down Jason Lowe's anniversary service at his church and get the church, I think, chartered, whatever they're going to do down there in October of this year down in Bahamas. And they are doing very well, running at 40 in church on Sundays now and having a good time. And, you know, and someday, Lord willing, I'll get to go to Oriole, Russia when Brother Oswardy charters his church and hopefully preach that service for him. And, of course, someday, Lord willing, I get to go back to hopefully to Antananarivo, Madagascar and preach a charter service there for Ben and Ashley. I'm looking forward to that. Just pray God gives us health and breath and life to that long. Amen. So, however long it is. So, when I get to visit these missionaries, I have not been on one field where a missionary was living in luxury. And we got to understand, I've said this before to our folks who've been here through the years, missionaries have needs. They're not some kind of robotical people who just get along in life. They never get sick. Their children never wear their clothes out. They never need a new pair of shoes. You know, God just touches them with incredible bionic Baptist health. Oh, they get sick. And they have needs like you and I have needs. Like our children get sick. And Paul had needs. And he said, you sent to meet my need. Now you say, Brother Angel, how do you know that these offerings, and I got to shorten this, how do you know that these offerings were monetary? How do you know they weren't care packages? And I'm not against care packages. Missionaries enjoy care packages, but it's like one of the missionaries, I forget, Brother Sigstad said this week at the missions conference, he said, you know, it's kind of difficult sometimes when you go into a church as a missionary and they don't understand the reason I am here is for your money. Now let's cut to the quick, folks. The reason that they travel to church after church after church, you say, well, they need our prayers. Yes, they do. But they need our money. And that ought not to offend you. Because the gospel is always cost, okay? And it's probably the worthiest thing to invest in. Pays the biggest returns and dividends. Okay? So how do you, but how do we know that this wasn't a care package? How do you know Paul didn't get an afghan and a used disposable razor and packs of Kool-Aid? Have you ever tried to eat an afghan, friend? I tell you what, that is a nasty thing, all right? But they got to have, so, okay, here, let's get you down in Corinth down there, okay, David? Down in the city of Corinth. Now, you got your Bible. I didn't put this Bible on there, the scripture on there, because I want you to turn to it. Hold your place in Philippians 4 and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and look at verse number 7. I want you to notice what Paul said to this church, okay? So Paul is talking, he's testifying about his time in Corinth. He's testifying here. And he talks about the time he spent in Corinth. And he says, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. Paul said he preached the gospel of God to this city, these people, freely. That does not mean that Paul did not make, that does not mean that Paul preached salvation by grace, free salvation. That's not what it means. What it means is that Paul preached to these people without charge. He did not receive a salary from the Corinthian church. There was no church. He did not put a sign up, come hear me preach, $5 for each ticket. He didn't do that. He didn't make a charge. He preached to them freely. Here I am, I want to have a service. Come on in, here's preach. Went to the synagogue and preached, never took an offering. That's what he means there. He preached the gospel of God freely. Look at what he says in verse number 8. I robbed other churches. That's plural. That's more than one. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do your service. Notice that word wage. You say, what does that mean? What does the word wage mean to you? When it's payday, do they give you an afghan? They don't give you an afghan. When it's payday, they don't give you a disposable razor and a few packs of Kool-Aid. I don't think you'd work very long in a place like that. It means wages. It means stipend. It means pay. It means money. That's what it means. And I love to say that word on Sunday morning, because I'm not unashamed to preach the gospel, to preach the message here that talks about the fact that missions requires money. Unashamed to preach it. He said, I robbed other churches, taking wages, money of them, to do you service. When I was down here, I didn't take a dime from the Corinthian people. And the way I got along in the city of Corinth was that other churches sent me some money. Read on verse number 9. And when I was present with you and wanted, that means he had what? Needs. That means he ran out of money. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. What do you think that means? That means he didn't go to any Corinthian people and say, hey, can you loan me $5 till my next support money comes in? Now, I'm sorry if it bores you to go verse by verse through the Bible. I don't know what else to do. There's no greater book in the world than just go verse by verse by it. When a preacher goes verse by verse through the Word of God, he's probably more biblical than any other message he preaches. But our folks have been taught to respond to dynamics and a bunch of nonsense in some cases that even isn't biblically based. But you go verse by verse and phrase by phrase, and it's like, oh, brother, when's this going to end? Well, it may not. I may just start preaching like this all the time, every verse by verse. He said, when I was with you, I was chargeable to no man. I will end this morning. I didn't mean I'd go on through the rest of the afternoon. You know, I get hungry like you do, right? So I'm going to go eat something. And I know you're tired. I'm tired. It was a long, long, long week. For some of us. Some of you didn't hurt you at all, but for some of us, it was a long, long week, all right? I was chargeable to no man. Look what he says. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia, what's that next word? Supply. He said this money came from churches. And he said these brethren came from where? Macedonia. Looks to me like there's more than one church here in Macedonia, doesn't there? You know what I'm going to need, David? I'm going to need some of that cash back. And by the way, you're supposed to be broke now, okay? Are you broke? You got any money in your pockets? You're perfect, man. That's perfect. Okay, here we go. So here we go. So down here at Philippi, somebody stands up and says, man, the Apostle Paul is all the way down in Corinth. The Apostle Paul is all the way down in Evansville, Indiana. And he's preaching down there, and he's trying to start a church. Let's help him. Sure thing. Let's do it. So we took up an offering. And they went by the church at Thessalonica and said, hey, we're on our way to Corinth. The Apostle Paul's down there. Would you guys like to get in on that? We're going to take an offering down to the Apostle Paul. And they said, sure, we'd like to get in on that too. And so they took up an offering. Went by the church in Berea and said, hey, we're headed to Corinth. And the Apostle Paul's preaching down there. Would you all like to get in on that? And they said, sure. So the churches of Macedonia got to the Apostle Paul when he was in what? Need. And Paul said, the brethren from Macedonia supplied. Supplied his need. Now, Philippians 4. I'm almost done with you guys, okay? Y'all are doing good. These are good guys, aren't they? I like these boys. Philippians chapter 4. Now, I want you to look at verse 18. He said, I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. I want you to notice he called that offering, these offerings, a sacrifice acceptable. Let me ask you a question. Can I see that money, Dave? Please, sir, thank you. Let me ask you a question. This money that came from this church here and this church here and this church here, do you think? And I'm not just speculating here because I got Bible to prove it. Do you think that this is just that these folks were just flowing in cash? Had it piled up and said, oh yeah, man, we can do that, no problem. Nope. The Bible says the churches in Macedonia were in deep poverty. Oh, like we are here in America. Right. While we spend $4 billion on Christmas, we're in deep poverty. I'm not anti-Christmas. I think more the better. Amen. Come on, folks. We're not in deep poverty. Fooey on that. These folks were in deep poverty. So you know what they had to do in order to get the Apostle Paul some money? They had to sacrifice. In fact, they had to give what they needed to supply his need. You know what that money is, right? That's need money. Because these folks aren't swimming in money. In fact, they're swimming in deep poverty. And yet they said, you know what? This is a pretty important business. This determines whether somebody spends eternity in heaven or in hell. So you know what? I may need this, but I'm going to give up part of what I need to help supply his need so he can preach the gospel. So these poor, pitiful people back here are just left with nothing because they gave their need money. But you've got to read verse 19. Paul said to those churches, but my God shall what? Supply all your need. You know what that Bible teaches me, friend? This is why these years ago, I don't even remember when now, when we dug this out of the Scripture, I got up out of my chair and just walked around and just felt like kicking the furniture because it just jumped off the pages at me. This is why we give to missions. This is not some Johnny-come-lately idea out of Chattanooga. This took place in the first century. People were giving money they needed to supply the missionaries' need, and God said, every time you give money you need to supply his need, I will supply your need. And it is a blessed cycle that works and 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 works. And I'm not the only one who can testify to that. There are dozens of you who can stand up here and say, I have seen God do this all the time I've been giving the missions. I may not be rich, but I've had what I've needed. And that's why we do it. The fellows, you did a great job. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I'll take that. These are good boys. Kiddo, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Now, that's why Faith Baptist Church has a missions program. Because the pattern for Faith Baptist Church is not found in Nashville, Tennessee. The pattern for Faith Baptist Church should not be out of Hammond, Indiana, Greenville, South Carolina, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Dallas, Texas, or any other place where there's been a church. And I'm not against big churches. I'm glad for all. The pattern for Faith Baptist Church is not in Elgin, Illinois. The pattern for Faith Baptist Church should be right here in this book. That's why we still go out and knock doors door to door. Because it's the pattern for the church in Bourbonnais, the pattern for the church in the book of Acts. And here we have, in our New Testament, our Bible, right here, this English Bible that God's given us. We didn't need a Greek concordance. We didn't need a Hebrew dictionary. We took our English Bible and cross-referenced scriptures and cross-referenced from verse to verse and passage to passage, which is what it means to say, study to show thyself approved unto God. And let the Bible speak for itself. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus is a verse that in its context is for those who give to missions. I've heard people use that verse and never give a dime to missions and yet claim, but my God's going to supply all my need. Well, maybe He will. But if you give money to the missions that you need, God said. Terry Angel didn't say this. Don Sisk didn't say this. Tom Freeney started. He had it started BIMI, started your mission board. Tom Freeney. He didn't. God said this. God Almighty, who rules over heaven and earth, and sits sovereign on His throne, God said, what you give the missions, I will get back to you. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to fall from the sky and you're going to run around with a bucket and collect dollar bills. But it does mean. It does mean. It does mean what it says. And God will get it back to you. And this is the pattern that missions, that churches in the first century, and God recorded it for us in the Bible, and the best thing for you and I to do is just to believe God and trust. You know what missions giving is? Missions giving is simply how much we trust God. What it boils down to. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You know what? If you enjoy the ministry of this church, I don't think you need to look at any one of the five pastors that have pastored this church, stood behind the pulpits of this church and preached messages. If you enjoy the ministry of this church today, it's been a blessing to you and your family in any way, shape, or form. I think you need to realize that it very well could be the fact that this church has been faithful to give to missions since, what was it, brother? 1981, Delbert? Huh? 1980. This church has been faithful to give to missions. And I will tell you something. We're not rich. But we've had our needs met. And through all this downturn, we finished every year so far by the grace of God in the black. And when the English church went backwards last year in general fund, God made it up and an extra $6,000 through the Spanish church. You know what that's called? That's called God saying, God fulfilling His promise that when you meet the missionary's need, I'll meet yours. I believe it applies to a church and I believe it applies to an individual. Now, folks here at Faith Baptist who are members here, I hope you prayed and asked God that what He'd have you to do concerning missions for the year 2012. And you know what? It's like that message I preached two Sunday nights ago. How many loaves do you have? It's not a pressure thing. It's not this. No. You get with God and you understand the promises in the Word of God and you act on them and you'll find out that God keeps His promise every time. That's a pure Bible study. Without a whole lot of riffraff from the preacher's opinions. Now, those find their way into messages. It can't be helped. But that, my friend, is a Bible message, pure Word of God, that you'd have a hard time arguing with. And that's always in the first century missions. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for what You teach us in Your Word. And I appreciate so much its purity. And Lord, how it all comes together. And it just so fits. And I rejoice in that. Thank you so much for your book. And now help us, please, to Lord, by faith, obey you, trusting you to keep your word. Help us, Lord, to be able to take on these new families and possibly even more if you would, by grace, bless us. God, I pray that every family in this church, every individual, I know that there's college students who give to Faith Promise Missions, and I appreciate that. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us to do your will in this matter this year, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you would say, Pastor, I've been praying about my part in the missions program of this church. I've been praying about that. Either you've come to a conclusion or you're still praying about it. But just you've been praying about it. Would you raise your hand this morning if you've been doing that as a church member? I appreciate that so very much. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. And if you haven't come to a conclusion, I hope that you will at some time here real soon, if you haven't already. Now listen, we talked a lot about this matter of being saved. Didn't talk about how to get saved. But you heard the word saved over and over again. You heard the word baptized and churches started. You heard the word saved many times. Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? That's the essence of the gospel. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again so that man might have eternal life and live with God forever in that beautiful place called heaven. Avoid the penalty and torture of hell, which we all deserve because of our wicked sin. Is there somebody here this morning who will say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that, would you lift your hand? Not sure that I'm saved. Not sure I'm saved. All right. If there's anybody here who's never been baptized in deep water since you've been saved, you say, Pastor, God's been dealing with me about being obedient to Him. If you came this morning to follow the Lord and believers' baptism, you can come right now. Come when the music begins. Talk to somebody about it down here in the front. But step out and be obedient to Christ to follow Him in believers' baptism. And if you've been baptized after being saved, and you know this is the place where God wants you to join, you've talked to one of us about it, you may use the altar as well. Let me say this. If you haven't come to a conclusion yet on your missionary gift, maybe you ought to come and just kneel for a minute, present yourself and say, Lord, please enlighten me and I'll obey you. Help me to do as you want me to do. And I'll thank you for it. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, give us an invitation this morning. Why don't you step out and obey the Lord today? Would you do that while we wait? Come and follow the Lord in baptism. Come and be saved. Trust Him as your Savior. Come and just kneel and say, God, I'm yours. While we wait.